It seems like lately I've been interacting with a lot of matchmakers, which is an amazing thing because I feel like matchmakers have a really interesting point of view. They get to see people, men and women, from both sides and really hear at their very core what it is they want, what they're looking for, and they also help them understand more clearly what they're trying to go after. And then they literally pair them up with other people to see if there's a match. So a few weeks ago, I was tweeting on Twitter, which anybody who listens to this knows that I am not a great tweeter, but I was tweeting, and this one woman named Brooke Wise was tweeting back and retweeting, which retweeting means that your tweets are pretty good, so that made me feel excellent. And then I reached out to Brooke and I asked her if she wanted to be interviewed, obviously after I checked out who she was and found out more information. So I have Brooke on the line right now, and she is a matchmaker, and she is going to provide some amazing, helpful information. Number one about the other side, but number two about men as well. She works with men and women and helps them matchmake. So I think this will be a really interesting conversation. Brooke, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks, Marnie. Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of the Wing Girl, so the Wing Girl method. So yeah, and I look forward to, shedding light on any questions you have and helping men as well, because we obviously set up men and women, and we're not just involved in putting the matches together, but getting the feedback from the dates so that, of course, constructive feedback, so we can help our relationships flourish.
Okay, well, that's actually a good place to start. So, from women, from their point of view, what is the one inconsistency that you see between what they say they want and what they actually end up with?
I definitely feel that women have, they're much more open in terms of what they're looking for.
Really?
I do. And then men. I think that, women, definitely want to be attracted. There has to be some sort of attraction, but it doesn't always have to be so, physical. It really doesn't have to be just, he's tall, dark, handsome, sign me up. I think there's a lot more to it. They're attracted to men who are successful, or if they're not the same level income-wise as them, they're attracted to men who are ambitious and passionate about what they do and have drive. They're also, attracted to men who are, intelligent, goofy, funny, men who, really actually listen to what they say. I
Right.
mean, I saw you wrote about the whole interview style, interview with you more. And I understand it's definitely when you're on a date, both parties are nervous, and I do it myself sometimes. You're listening and you're trying to be an active listener, but like you could ask the woman where she's from and she'll tell you she's from the South, and then later on you'll be like, oh, how's the Midwest? And that
Right.
type of stuff really, that type of stuff really, I speak to women and that makes them feel like they really were not interested in the date, and they very well could have been interested. But a little clue like that, makes them feel like they were totally somewhere else in the conversation or thinking about somebody else or maybe looking at somebody else.
Interesting. So nervous
So,
twitches set women off, is what you're saying. Or typical human behavior, actually, but nervous twitches that anybody would experience on a date. So.
no, I'm just saying, I think listening, it goes such a, like a, I think in everything, but really in dating, it really goes a long way. Actually, like listening and taking an interest in the other person, is a very, very big thing.
That's interesting. So.
But I don't know if so you, I don't know if I went off your topic on what you
No, that's
asked.
perfect. Any information you're going to throw out is going to be helpful and great because you are also an insider where you get to talk to both sides and you get to see where they kind of screw up. You're like their babysitter watching them date, you know what I mean? And you get to see where they're missing out and where they're not seeing something and somebody was uncomfortable and the other person was. Most people don't get that on dates. They go on dates with people and they don't know what's happening on the other side because nobody's talking to them and helping them out. You're actually
Yeah.
hearing both sides and then helping both sides understand what was going on, which I think is
Yeah,
absolutely
that's
amazing.
been very interesting about when we started this. I really thought and people do come to us for our network and for the introductions and the, you know, introducing the people that they wouldn't meet on their own.
Right.
And but there's, it's been a lot more than that. The feedback, especially in the beginning, like makes me realize that a lot of people could very easily have wound up with someone that they were with, but there were so many miscommunications in the beginning and there wasn't like a third party to kind of, you know, help iron it out in the beginning.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been pretty interesting in that respect.
Well, if I'm fascinated by it, I would love to like step into a matchmaker's shoes for a week. That would be really interesting. But actually before we go back to the first question that I'd asked, can you just tell me more about like who comes to you? Like who are these people that come to be matchmaked?
I mean, we happen to have among our clients, we have very, very successful Ivy League educated, double Ivy, like very intelligent men and women, you know, successful either on Wall Street, in finance, started their own businesses, doctors, lawyers, and people who I would say age range, our youngest client is in their mid-20s, our oldest client is in their early 40s, and people who, you know, they obviously, you know, they're successful, they date, they don't have trouble dating, they've had engagements before, they've maybe been divorced, you know, they don't have a trouble committing. They just, you know, they're at the point where they're not in a relationship and they really are seeking it. And they work, like Manhattan, a lot of people work, it's not uncommon to work 90-hour week.
Right.
And in their free time, maybe they want to hit the gym, take sleep, see their family, and they want somebody to really help them find the right person, and they don't have the time, or, you know, if they do have the time, they're meeting good people, but they're just not hitting it and meeting the one.
Well, I like that you sort of step in, because I tell anybody that I'm friends with who's single, like, if you want a really good match for you, ask your married friends or friends who are in couples, because they can see things more clearly who would actually be a good fit for you. But at times when you're single, you're not looking for those things. Like, your expectations of a partner aren't the same expectations.
Oh, another thing,
yeah. Yeah, but I think that's really interesting.
Another thing is,
you can help in that
way. Another thing is, everybody uses their network. They're like, their friends, their married friends. But then they get to a point where they've exhausted their networks and
right.
their inner circles, and their networks can be very large, but and everyone's thinking of them and has their best interests and they're looking out for them, but they've met or dated everybody.
Right.
So that's where we have a different network, a much larger network that's
right.
constantly growing. So I think that's a big thing. And then a lot of people, like you said on your blog, people go to bars and lounges, but not to meet people. Like, they're not there to meet guys. That's what I found.
When I was younger,
they go to events. And stuff,
yeah, when I was younger, I totally did. Like, that's where that's all that I went to. I didn't have events to go to when I was younger, and you know,
right.
I would go to bars, and if I did happen to meet somebody at a bar, that's awesome. I literally don't have any friends who met at a bar, though. I don't know of anybody who actually met at a bar.
I know one couple.
The thing. I know that they exist 100%, so I'm not saying to cut that out. The main thing is, like,
yeah.
if you're not a bar person, don't go to bars. Because if you're already uncomfortable there, there is no need for you to step into a bar to try and meet somebody when you're already feeling uncomfortable. You're not a drinker,
right.
and you don't like places where your feet stick to the floors. So cut those out.
Right.
But I do want to go back to that first question that I asked about inconsistency. So we kind of touched on it a bit about inconsistencies of expectations. And I feel that this is, you know, a common difficulty for people across
the
border, but specifically for women, because, you know, there's amazing guys listening who want to hear. What is maybe one or two things that women say to you at first that they want, but then when you see who they end up with, it turns out to be either the opposite or a little bit different. Is there an inconsistency between what women say they want and what they actually respond to or end up being with?
Yeah, like when I was talking about the physical, you know, I do believe a lot of women will say to me a lot that they want like a tall guy who makes them feel, you know, like so that they can feel more like feminine or more like smaller, like they want a big guy.
Oh, so they do say that to you. Okay, so these are things that they do say in the beginning. Okay, cool. That's interesting.
And then say I don't introduce them to a 6'4" guy, and I introduce them to a 5'10" or 5'11" guy who's, you know, very confident, you know, carries himself, you know, in a way where, you know, he owns who he is and is confident and comfortable in his own skin, and they really click with, you know, they'll accept that he's not, you know, a giant.
Right. No,
so
I find
that
as well.
That is, you know, it's a common thing I hear. And, you know, I then wind up finding that they have a much greater, you know, greater stomach for shorter than that.
Really? Okay, so what about guys who are bald or fat or 5'5"? Do you see that as a problem for you when they come in and they say that they want to meet somebody? Are you like, oh, well, you know, there's a smaller list of people to choose from? Or is that not even something that you take into consideration?
What are you saying? If a guy
comes in and wants to be matched, and he happens to be 5'5", or bald, or heavier, or, you know, those are the three things that a lot of guys are insecure about or think that holds them back with women. For you, is that something that would hold them back with matchmaking them with the other women that you have?
No, I mean, I think if they, you know, are, you know, like an intelligent, have, you know, have careers, you know, have, you know, are family oriented or commitment minded, sensitive, caring, you know, I think that should not hold them back at all.
Is it a harder sell to the women that you work with?
I mean, it's definitely, you know, it depends on which woman I would match them up with. Like, I wouldn't be matching them up with Courtney from The Bachelor.
Right. But there has been a woman who's come back to you, said, like, seriously, you matched me up with a bald guy? Or seriously, he was 5'5", like, where they were upset about it?
Well, I set up a woman last night with a guy who was probably about the same height as her when she was wearing heels. And I had to convince her. I had to talk her into it, and she had a great time. She really did.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, yeah, I mean, I definitely try to push my clients, because I think a lot of times, you know, if you really put a box around what you're looking for, like, I think back to my personal experience, you know, I had zero idea, like, in my head. I didn't have, like, a vision or a picture of who the guy I was going to marry was going to be. Like, it didn't. And then I met him, and that was it. I think that when you have such a defined laundry list or checklist or whatever you want to call it, or picture of what he's going to be, you're setting yourself up for a long road. That's my opinion.
I think that as well. It didn't stop me from having my long laundry list, but I completely agree with you as well. So it's funny, because I did a survey of women, and, you know, as positive as I want to be and non-judgmental as I want to be, where I say, no, it doesn't matter how tall you are or if you're bald. I say, honestly, like, if I were to ask 10 of my female friends, would you ever date a short guy? A guy who's shorter than you? Most of them would say no. Most of them would go, hell no. But in reality, if you put them in a situation where they can date a great guy who happens to be short, they will, and they'll be happy to go on the date. You're right when you're saying it's about expectations, which I like the fact that you help them break those barriers so that they're not living in this bubble and selecting from a bubble. You're actually showing them different options. It's like going to the clothing store, because there's so many times where I know, okay, I have like four things that I choose that I want to wear and four different colors. That's it. But then somebody at the store will say, oh, what about this? And I'll be like, I don't know. It's not really me. And then I'll try it on and I'll love
it. Right, exactly.
And I'll be like, okay, well, I wasn't thinking of getting this purple whatever. Usually I wear grays and blacks and whites, but yeah, I absolutely love that. So it's kind of the same thing. So how would you advise guys and women, because like if somebody, women are listening to this as well, how would you advise them to date this way where, you know, the bubble's a little bit bigger? If they didn't have you to assist them, how would they select differently on their own? Or how could they select differently on their own?
I mean, when they're out, you know, how they should approach women? Is that
no,
mean?
Like on their own. So like if people have their list of, okay, I only want to date guys, girls who are brunette, bubbly, and at least a B and 5'2". And she has to laugh. You know, that's the short list of typically what you would be able to say out loud that you want when you're in a social setting. There's like, you know, deeper wants after that. But how would you advise a guy to adjust so that he can, number one, get better results, and number two, open his eyes to the other options that are out there so that he's not as like focused?
I would say to, you know, to date, I'm sure he's dating and pursuing guy, women that fit that, you know, the brunette, 5'2", you know, those criteria. But I would actually challenge him to date. I'm not saying the polar opposite of that, but I would challenge him to date, you know, a dirty blonde.
Right.
A woman who's, you know, 5'4" and, you know, 5'6" with heels, or something, or probably 3-inch heels. So that's probably an accurate. So right. 5'7". And see what, and then really give it have an open mind, give it a shot, and see. And you never know. That might be, and open his eyes to, you know, this type of woman is maybe not exactly what I'm looking for. I need to, you know, broaden my horizons, broaden what I'm looking for,
yeah.
Cast a wider net.
I think it's
interesting because I don't have women say to me, I'm looking for a guy with brown hair, a guy with light hair. That's actually not something that comes up very much. Or a guy with, you know, a certain eye color. You know, I don't think I get that from women. I do, you know, and in terms of type, I hear, like I said, taller.
Right.
You know, if they want somebody, if they're petite, they don't mind a guy who's on the more slender side. You know,
right.
But if they're more athletic and curvy, they do want like a bigger guy that they can feel like a woman. But I don't have like them such.
It's not so specific.
Specifics on the body type. You do get with men.
Do you ever find that sometimes, like even when the women list their wants, that they're still sort of curbing them for your approval, like that you're really getting their true wants out of them, that they are listing down exactly?
I do.
Yeah.
I do think that they're much, I mean, yeah, they're the exceptions to it, but I do think that they're much broader, a wider net than a lot of the times what you hear from some of the men.
Interesting.
Like criteria.
And they're, do you think
yeah.
that they're honest instead of, because I have a couple of guidebooks that I have guys complete
uh-huh.
from one of my programs that guys can subscribe to. And I say to them, if you want, send them to me, but don't curb your answers because I'm going to be reading it. It's for you.
You know what's interesting? I think guys curb, this is the question I do think they, or that guys change for me.
Really?
I think some guys, I'll tell you, like some guys on the children front, I think it's a social norm, obviously, for a guy to say that he wants to have children.
Right.
And I think, you know, if a guy is on the fence and doesn't know if he wants children, he's not going to so much admit that to me.
Interesting. Okay. That's
because
really
interesting. Because I think it's a norm for, you know, I think it's more of a norm, you know, a social norm that, you know, people want children, you know? So I think if a guy is not more towards the no camp, they're going to kind of not really be so forthcoming about that.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I could be, I mean, it's just a thought I have.
No, but that's great. You're like in it. You're in the trenches. You're getting to see things. That, you know, that's the point. You get the inside information.
Because then a woman would then assume, oh, well, then he's not serious about, you know, getting married. But that's not true. You know?
That's interesting.
So,
well, that's a good lesson as well. You put out there what you want and don't be ashamed of it. I'm going to end this actually on one story. Because we ended up talking about something totally different than what I thought we were, but I love it because it's criteria of what people are actually looking for. And so, you know, we explained the ways that people look and the ways that people can look if they make slight adjustments. But I'll tell you my story with my husband. I came from Toronto and I was immersed in a world of, like, I'm Jewish and with Jewish guys, with short Jewish guys mm-hmm. who wear glasses and they all become doctors or accountants or lawyers or something in business. It was very cookie cutter, which was great, but I obviously moved away for a reason. My expectations of what I would end up with always looked like that. They always looked like mm-hmm. guys who were the same height as me, if not a little bit, well, not a little bit shorter probably, but I'm 5'2". So, you know, a little bit taller than me. I could look eye to eye with them. Mm-hmm. They wore glasses or didn't wear glasses, or eventually they would put on glasses at some time in their life. And they were a certain personality type. Anyway, I dated a lot of guys when I moved out to Los Angeles and I met my husband. And my husband is 6'3". He's 240. He's Catholic. He's mixed. He's like the complete uh-huh. opposite to what I expected to be with.
Wow.
And it took me a while to adjust, honestly, because I wasn't attracted to his type. That wasn't something that caught my eye. When I first met him, I was trying to interact with his two other Jewish friends who were the kind of guys that I wanted to be with. And now, God, I would never, ever want to be with either of them because now I get to see it on the opposite side. But it's just interesting. Like, there was a while where I was adjusting my expectations, which sort of not stopped me, but it slowed down my attraction towards him. I was always so comfortable with him and I loved it. And I loved, he was so masculine and so confident and he was still very vulnerable and he's the nicest guy in the entire world, but he had his boundaries and I was not used to that. And it did take time to adjust the picture for me. And it was difficult. I would say like 3 months to actually adjust that picture. But once it was adjusted, now every mixed man that walks by me, I'm looking at them. I love black men. They're like super hot. Those are my type now. And now I look at the short Jewish guys. I'm like, it's not my thing. But it's interesting how it does adjust with what – it's like your taste buds, right? Every 7 years it changes. But that was a really good message, I think, for a lot of guys to hear is that, number one, women – you know, are not as specific saying exactly what they want. But even more important is that expectations don't really spell out who or what it is you're going to like or be attracted to later on down the road. So for both sides, you know, have a wider fishnet, which is what you said, or wider net. And don't just date the one specific type of person that you like. Try and date everybody, every single type, and see what you actually do like, not what you think you like.
Right. But I guess the only caution to that is I do think people can get totally burned out from too much dating. So I guess, you know, to still within reason, you know, this person is someone you could legitimately see yourself with, because I do understand and hear about it a lot that, you know, when you're dating so much to really find the right person, and obviously you're putting yourself out there, which is all good, and you're really, you know, opening up and trying to, you know, find the right person, but it's exhausting.
Oh, so I have a girlfriend who took a hiatus from dating. She literally said, like, I gotta stop. I'm going out every single night. She's like, I haven't bought food in weeks because I'm going out for dinners every single night and I can't stand it. She's like, basically it's just like one after one after one after one and I'm not seeing the differences between people. And she took a 3 month break, and I think she said it was going to be 3 months. And I think in the third month, she actually met her now boyfriend because she went on like a diet fast. You know, it was like Lent for her. So she stopped dating and she sort of rejuvenated herself or relaxed and refreshed. And then she could be clear again. So that was a really good point to bring up, to like, don't go crazy with dating. But I think for a lot of guys that are listening, like, have that period of time where you do go crazy with dating. The people, you know, expand your circle a little bit for your choices. But then if you do want to get more serious about dating, then you can go back to selecting the people that you actually want to date once you've tried different types of people. But this was really helpful. This is wonderful. I'm going to pick your brain again in the future for sure, because I'm sure that many more questions are going to come up from this. And I'm actually going to be in New York really soon, so maybe I will see you when I'm there.
That'd be great. Yeah, that sounds great.
So tell people how to get in touch with you if they want to be matched.
The best way is, they can. I love them to, check out our website, which is WISE matchmaking.com. And they register on our website. There's no fee to register. And when you register, the only people who are viewing your information are me and the people who work with me in a password protected network. So it's not an online dating site or anything like that. And then one of us will reach out and get to know them better.
Interesting. It's like The Bachelor, but in real life. I love it. I'm obsessed with that show. So that's awesome.
No, who isn't?
Exactly. Yeah. So thank you so much for talking with me. I really appreciate it. Let's keep in touch. But thank you. And guys, if you are in New York, definitely go look up Brooke and she'll hook you up with amazing, wonderful women. Thank you.
Yes, I'd love to. All right.